Hi, and welcome to Straight Shot Radio. My name is Johnny Slick, and I'm the founder and head coach at Straight Shot Training, a personal training company that helps people of all fitness levels build strength and confidence with the help of focused and uplifting coaches. What you're about to hear is another Facebook Live that Coach Bruce and I did last week, and I thought I'd share it with you as a podcast so it would be easier for you all to listen to on the go. In this episode, we cover whether or not you can lose body fat and tone up certain areas of your body, how to swap proteins in and out of your diet to avoid burnout, how dietary protein contributes to fat loss, and more. But first, if you're struggling with knee, low back, or shoulder pain, we've got something for you. If you head over to straightshottraining.com/podcast and you find this episode, which is episode 152, you'll see a link to download an ebook right there. It's called Train Away Your Pain, and it's written by Straight Shot coach Bruce Carpenter. This book is packed with insight, information, and workouts to help you get out of pain and get back to training. Again, that's straightshottraining.com/podcast and click the link in this episode's show notes. All right, in the spirit of respecting your time, let's dive right in. If you're watching this later or if you're listening to this on the podcast, welcome. So any questions you have regarding fitness, nutrition, health, drop them in the comments. But we have a few to start with. So I'm going to pull up the one and I'll let Bruce take this one. This is a question someone had. They've been losing weight. I want to pull up the exact one. They've been losing weight. And obviously seeing some progress, but they were saying that they were hoping to see more progress or wondering how they could see more progress in terms of where they're storing body fat. So storing body fat is a guy who's storing more body fat than he would like around his chest. So he was wondering, are there exercises? Is there something he needs to do with his diet? What can he do to reduce the body fat around his chest?
You want to start or me?
No, you take this one. You start with
okay.
This one.
So we have one big issue, and the biggest problem is that when we're talking about dieting, we can't spot target specific regions of the body. So if you're already losing weight and you're already seeing progress, that means that we're good diet-wise. Now, we can start to change the composition of an area by adding some more muscle mass to that space. So while it's not going to make the fat in that area decrease or come down any faster, it is going to make it appear like we have better composition. So especially if we're talking about chest area, we want to start to work on your chest day. You're thinking about high volume work across wide range of motion chest exercises. And I would go for ones that are a little more targeted. So we're thinking about our pec flies, trying to open up as wide as we can, really focus on the stretch of the muscle for your pec, and then squeezing back in. And as we can build more muscle there, it's going to look like we have less fat in that region. And then just try and make sure you can hit multiple ranges of your pec. So I would do a combination of your pec fly, some kind of an incline press, and then some kind of a decline, preferably like a dip. Or a
decline press.
Maybe a decline bench. I'm not a big fan of that one, but dips work best.
Yeah, so it's not necessary. So maybe stop thinking about it as I need to lose fat off this area. Keep going with the dieting that's obviously giving you the fat loss gains that
results.
You want to see. But if you build up the muscle in that area, you can have the appearance of it looking firmer or more toned, if you want to use that word. But that was actually the recommendation I sent back to him. So he's already training. He's already training with us 3 days a week. I said, you know, you're getting a decent amount of chest volume, but, and I sent him 5 different exercises, and they were several different, because for home stuff for him to do.
There we go.
Dips, several different push-up grip variations, and pec flies. And like Bruce said, you want some things that are going to give you a good stretch, but then you also want some things that are going to give you a good chest contraction. And it's, you know, a lot of it too is kind of figuring out that mind-muscle connection. Can you feel your pecs contract? Can you feel them stretch? But again, you know, you can't spot reduce fat. You can spot add muscle. That's the good.
That's huge.
Maybe focusing on both. Continue the dieting that's going to get you the fat loss, but then bring up your chest with some extra chest volume. Obviously, not so much that's going to impede your recovery from your other workouts, but adding a little bit here and there ends up building up, especially over the course of the week. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good answer, Bruce. Next question here.
sent all these to you in a text. Now I'm trying to pull them all up. This was a good one. This was a good one that I had earlier this week. This has to do on, we talked about sugar cravings last time. We're going to talk about meat cravings today. And the opposite of cravings, foods that really turn you off. So this is one of our clients who has been doing really well. And she's been losing weight after she increased her protein consumption. The problem is she started eating a lot of chicken. And I think she burnt herself out on chicken.
Yep.
And she told me the other day that she was completely disgusted by chicken. She can't do it anymore. but can she start doing steak? Because she's been craving steak. And my answer was, absolutely. Steak is great. Steak's amazing. It's just whenever I was looking at her calories, the difference in calories from steak versus calories from chicken breast, you're going to be getting more fat calories. So just account for that somewhere else in your day and you're fine. But I kind of wanted to get more down to the bottom of, well, are you burnt out on a certain chicken recipe or is it chicken in general? And she said it was all chicken in general. Just full-on chicken ban. Done with chicken.
I felt that before.
Okay.
You burn out on one specific type of food, I would say go ahead and take a break. I'm burnt out on turkey. I can't do turkey anymore. No more turkey. No turkey burgers. None.
Yeah.
I'm horror on Thanksgiving. So take your break off of chicken, and then just go for some leaner cuts of red meat. So they've got all different kinds of cuts, whether you're going ground or whether you're going sirloins, things like that.
Yeah.
And keep an eye on the extra calories.
And then I also mentioned seafood. I was like, I know you're burnt out. I know you're craving steak. But also, you want to go a little slow connection here. Let's make sure that we don't time out. A little surf and turf sounds great. So I was giving her different options for fish, shellfish, different ways of getting leaner proteins, because most fish is extremely low fat. Now higher fat fish like salmon or sardines, things like that, are still extremely good for your overall health. It's just you are getting more calories with those than you would if you're swapping chicken breast for salmon. If you're swapping chicken breast for cod, it's pretty, actually probably less fat in cod than there is in chicken breast. So so there's some different options there. Obviously, don't do steak for every single meal or you will end up increasing your calories. But as you increase, tuna is fantastic. So give yourself some different options. But when people start increasing their protein and they find like, oh, this one food, this one meal is really working well for me, enjoy eating the same foods every single day, which I have no problem with, most people are going to get burnt out on it. So maybe giving yourself some variance whenever you first start a new style of eating to go ahead and figure out, hey, this week I'm going to do chicken, next week I'm going to do salmon, next week I'm going to do steak, and start switching it up maybe earlier, you're going to be less likely to get burnt out on those things and then be total chicken ban or total turkey ban.
Chicken wipe out.
Okay, next question here is along the same lines, talking about protein consumption. I was talking to someone about increasing their protein, and they were worried about increasing their protein if they would then start seeing excess weight gain because their total calories would be increased.
So this is a fun question, a little more complicated. So the first thing, and probably the most important thing here, is that calories in, calories out is real. It counts. If you consume the calories, they get added into your system. Now, we have a little bit of nuance here, especially when we talk about protein. The mechanisms for storing protein are incredibly inefficient. So when you consume your protein, some of the things like, if we've ever talked about metabolism before, your thermic effect of food, just the cost of absorbing it, is much higher for protein than it is for a carbohydrate or for a fat. So if you're overdoing it on protein a little bit, you're probably going to be much safer in terms of putting on weight than you would be if you were overdoing it with carbohydrates or if you were overdoing it with fats. So, as long as you're not going absolutely hog wild eating 10 pounds of chicken every day, you'll probably be okay with a little bit of calorie surplus if that calorie surplus is specifically coming from protein.
Yep.
And then a couple of little extra additions. It seems like when we consume additional protein, aside from just feeling more full, that we'll feel full sooner. So yeah. I have to find the specific study that references it, but consuming more protein is going to fill you up faster and have less of a impact on your bottom line for calories in, calories out.
Yep. I'm trying to do like on the spot fact check because I know exactly what study you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a 16-week study, subjects consuming a high protein diet, which was only 34% of the total calories, so not insanely high protein, mm-hmm. but higher protein diet reported greater post meal satiety or feelings of fullness than subjects consuming a standard protein, which is 18% or lower, higher fat diet. So protein is going to help you feel fuller. Mm-hmm. There are some studies that show that even if you keep your calories the same, so let's say you're taking in 1,900 calories, and you keep your calories the same, but you swap some of those calories from fat and carbs mm-hmm. to protein, you start losing weight. Or in some cases, like we saw with our client who had the chicken issue, I actually mm-hmm. increased her calories. She was taking in maybe 1,600, which is way too low for her. Mm-hmm. All we did was increase her protein, which increased her total calories, and she started losing weight. And the secret there is when you're increasing your protein, all of a sudden her weight lifts skyrocketed. She got strong fat.
She got super strong.
So she got stronger. Mm-hmm. She was building some lean muscle mass, which you can do in a caloric deficit in the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. Once you train for a long time, when you're cutting calories, you typically don't gain muscle mass. But in the beginning, you do. That's why it's great when you start. You get all those newbie gains. Yeah. They're magical. So increased her protein. She increased her strength. She had better performance in her workouts. She had better recovery after her workouts. Her sleep improved. She had more energy. Mm-hmm. Because one of the other things that happens, I know we keep adding little nuggets here, but one of the other things
protein's
that happens
amazing.
Is when you decrease your calories and decrease your protein consumption, the amount that you move, that you fidget, that you walk, that you stand decreases because mm-hmm. your body is trying to preserve everything you have. So you sit more, you burn less calories when you're sitting there, you move way less, you have a hard time recovering from your workouts, mm-hmm. and you're not as productive in your workouts. So when you increase your protein and you slightly increase your calories, your energy levels go up, your muscle mass goes up, mm-hmm. Your feelings of fullness go up, your cravings for sugar go down, all the good things happen when you increase
high protein.
Yeah. And again, this is we're not fans of the carnivore diet. We're not telling you to go out and just eat meat nonstop.
It's a little excessive.
Yes. But for a lot of people, when we do put them on a higher protein diet, which is still within the healthy guidelines by just about every association that puts out guidelines for macronutrient like partitioning, when we increase people's protein, it does seem like a lot at first. So we talked in the last live/podcast, Bruce shared his double scoop of protein.
Double scoop protein is incredibly effective.
Right? So I was talking to somebody today who I looked through their food journal and I saw they were really having trouble hitting their protein numbers and they were off by about 40 grams. And I showed them in one scoop of like a whey isolate, you get 30 grams. So you can immediately... What's up, Delaney? Coach Delaney Washington. Delaney, do you have any questions for us?
He did.
So if you just add some type of protein supplement, which obviously if you can get it through food, you're going to be getting some other vitamins that are not necessarily going to mm-hmm. be in the shake. But shakes are great. They're convenient. They can help you hit those protein numbers, especially in the beginning when you first start increasing it and you're having trouble eating all that food. Shakes are great.
And I'm amazed by your fact check skills. That was incredibly fast.
Oh yeah, I got these fast caffeinated fingers that we talked about last episode. Here's a good one. This is from Mary. Mary asks, "Does when you eat protein matter?"
Ooh,
this is another great question. Because if you had asked any bro 10 years ago, they would have said, if you don't get protein within 20 minutes of your workout,
it would be a disaster.
Workout didn't actually happen. Mm-hmm. But now we know that that's not true. So you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. If we're talking about absolute optimal, so if we're going to start training you for the Olympics and all of your meals are perfectly timed and you're training probably twice a day, then the best time to consume protein is going to be immediately after your workout with at least 30 to 60 grams. With that being said, for everyone who is a regular person, your end-all be-all is going to be just hitting your protein totals. The guy who came up with this is this guy, John Ivey, who built up nutrient timing and said how important it was to get protein so quickly. But as we've progressed with more research and more studies, we found that as long as you're hitting your totals, it doesn't particularly matter. You can get it in first thing in the day, last thing of the day, ideally equally throughout the day. That helps if you've consumed high protein before and noticed some gas style issues, because that can happen. But as long as you're hitting your totals, you're good to go. It doesn't matter when you consume it whatsoever. Good side note here is going to be on protein sources. So if you're consuming protein from things that are not animal products, we want to try and make sure it's a complete protein. You want to get your, like, the beans and rice combinations. That's something we can talk about more later. I'm not really an expert, but that is important if we're consuming protein from non-animal sources.
And even that more recently with complementary proteins, which we're talking about.
Yes.
So
yeah,
if
that's
you,
it.
So when you have any protein that's not from an animal source, is going to be considered an incomplete protein, meaning mm-hmm. it's missing or it's lower in certain essential amino acids, meaning you have to get them from your food. So that's why if you have beans and rice, so rice is short on a couple of amino acids that beans mm-hmm. have, and vice versa. So they complement each other. They're called complementary proteins. So you have beans and rice, nuts and seeds, and some type of whole grain. Those things are going to complement each other. They're finding more now, though, that if you get enough total protein from all sources over the course of a day, mm-hmm. that you don't necessarily have to combine those at every single meal. It's better. It's more optimal, too. But if you're consuming a variety, meaning some animal proteins and some plant proteins, they're going to help fill in the gaps for each other. Obviously, animal protein mm-hmm. is going to be king when it comes to it, despite what any Netflix documentary tells you.
Oh,
please!
We should do a whole watch along.
Oh yeah, would you all watch a Netflix documentary Ooh. With us if we sat down and watched it and fact checked along the way? Plant sources of protein are fine as long as you're able to combine those to hit all of those amino acids over the course of a day. Now over here. Gloria said, yeah, Gloria will watch it with us. If you are in, and sorry to anybody who's listening on the podcast, you don't get this because you didn't show up live. But in the comments here, Gloria asked, can we recommend this? That's whey and recommend. This is my whey commendations. recommend a whey protein brand. I gave you a couple options here, Gloria. There is my favorite Optimum Nutrition, which is kind of, it's called the gold standard.
They're the staple.
Yeah. It's gold standard Optimum Nutrition, and it is mixes really well. It tastes amazing, and it's mm-hmm. got a couple enzymes in it that help for people who have issues with dairy. But I don't do well with dairy, so in the past I've done pea protein supplements or plant-based protein supplements that do have those different plant sources, so it's a complete protein. It's not as good as whey when it comes to bioavailability, but like he said, if you're not an athlete, that doesn't matter that much.
It's okay.
But I did give you a plant-based protein that is really good, and then there is also a really good... Oh, that's not it. There's a really good egg white protein I'm finding for you here, and this one is just powdered egg whites. There is no flavoring. There's nothing added to it. So if you have stomach issues with some of the stuff in there, this one does actually have BCAAs in it, which really don't do anything. But so I'm going to give you the links to that in there to where you can buy those if you want to check out those supplements. But honestly, for my shakes, I just use cartons of egg whites. I get cartons of egg whites from Aldi, and you just dump that into a blender. They're pasteurized. Egg whites. So it's I do a cup of egg whites, cup of almond milk, a banana, and half a bag of spinach, and a tablespoon of flax. And that has been my post-workout shake for months now. And it's great. It's a lot of protein. Doesn't taste like you're drinking an omelet, I promise. Mm-hmm. A banana omelet. But so there's some options for you in there, Gloria. Okay, hang on. I think I saw
something. I've been a gold standard guy pretty much... the last 8 years. Scoops of gold standard with some skim milk if you're worried about calories.
You a fan of any alternative milks? Oat milk, almond milk, coconut milk? You like any of those?
So I've tried almond milk and I've tried oat milk. And I think they're great for things that aren't just milk. Like, if I just want a glass of milk,
oh, yeah.
I want a glass of milk.
Yeah.
But almond milk in, like, cereal or almond milk in a protein shake might as well be the same thing. Close enough.
I don't know. I think I might disagree with you on cereal. I think if it's cereal, it's got to be. It's got to be
the
cow's
milk. You want the real
milk. Yeah. It's just nothing is not the same when you have, because almond milk is pretty watery compared to, but
it's true.
Yeah, in a shake, it doesn't really matter that much. Although oat milk is great on cereal because it's a little thicker.
I got to give that one a shot. Have you tried the Magic Spoon cereals?
No, because I'm having trouble spending.
Oh, what was that?
Somebody thumbed down this.
What did you thumb down
what
for?
What is the thumb down for?
Oh my goodness.
No, because here's the thing about Magic Spoons. I have a hard time spending $10 in a box of cereal.
Oh, I didn't know how much it was.
Yeah, they're $10 for a box of cereal. You go to Aldi and you can get yourself some Magic Stars. They're like $1.79 a box. Magic Spoon is a high-protein cereal that is all over the place now because it apparently is supposed to taste just like
regular
cereal. Like, they have like a Fruit Loops version.
Wait a minute. Gloria says that Magic Spoon tastes like sawdust.
Thank you for the warning.
But Natalia says delish. So we got Gloria versus Natalia here on whether Magic Spoon. Maybe that's what we do next time.
We do
a taste test of Magic Spoon cereal.
Hey, I'll do that. I'll get a box of Magic Spoon.
By the way, I think that Bex isn't here. I just want to say happy birthday to Bex.
Happy birthday.
I thought I saw Bex in here, but yeah, happy birthday, Bex.
Let's see.
Delaney has a question here. Dante wants to know how important it is to get footing exactly even when you squat compared to just unracking and going.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's explain. So so this means like you're walking under a bar, putting on your back, stepping back, and starting your squat. Do you do the like cha-cha slide shuffle to get your feet exactly, or do you just step back and just Jesus take the wheel and start squatting?
And roll?
Yeah. What's your...
So if it's lighter, I just step back and go. As soon as it gets heavier, especially since I'm on the squat journey right now, getting my squat up over my bench, it's kind of important. I swear I do train legs. I've noticed that as I get higher and closer to what is maximal potential here, if I'm not perfectly set up for my heaviest set, my knee is throbbing the next day, and then I have to go through and do all the drills that I put in the ebook so that it doesn't hurt anymore. So I make sure it's really precise footing on maximal efforts and maximal attempts. Short of that, I don't feel so bad going through if I'm anywhere at like... For any sets that are going to be over 5 repetitions, I don't feel the need to be super, super precise or specific.
Yeah, that's and great plug for the book, by the way. That was so smooth the way he slid that one in there. So if you notice here, there's a pinned comment here that says to download your free copy of Coach Bruce's book, Train Away Your Pain. There are drills in there to help out with knee pain, low back pain, and shoulder pain. It's absolutely free. No catches here. So if you click on that, it'll take you to a page where you can download that book.
Yeah.
But like Bruce said, I think it's entirely dependent on the percentage of your maximum that you're working at. So if you're just warming up, I mean, you could have one foot on 12 o'clock, 1 foot on 2 o'clock, and not be at risk of injuring yourself. Now, as you get heavier, it's not just about a risk of injury. It's also what is going to allow you to exert the most force into the ground. And that's going to be different for everybody. Some people is toes straight forward. Some people is slightly out. You got to figure out what works best for you. So when it comes to your stance, when you step back, if you can step back and immediately be in a good spot for you, because that's what feels good as you step back, and that's what works for you. I think that people really try to overthink it. And if you're standing there with, 90%+ of your max on your back and you're doing the electric slide trying to figure out your foot position,
you're wasting a ton
of energy. So this is why it's important to do your warm-up sets and be serious about them. So obviously you don't need to, like I said before, you don't have to completely have everything dialed in your warm-up sets. But it's not a bad idea to figure out when you go under the bar and you take two steps back, if you want to peek down at where your feet are, have a line on the floor or something, just do it every single time and then it becomes second nature. But in the warm-up sets, if it's a little bit off, you know, you don't need to worry too much about it. But same thing with bench press. People worry about exact hand placement, exactly where the bar hits. The more you do it, the more it becomes second nature and you don't have to worry about it. But in the warm-up sets, you know, if it's not exactly dialed in, if your shoulders aren't locked down exactly, it's not going to be as big of a deal. But it's kind of one of those, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yep.
You know, better.
I have been benching. I never skip bench day. Squat day gets lost.
He even benches on squat day.
Most of the time. But if I go through benching all the time over, 10, 15, 20 years, I can't set up for bench the wrong way. It's more.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good answer. All right, we can have time for one more question. If somebody wants to throw one more question here, it's getting near 5:30, which means spam calls are coming in. That's what's coming in. It's wild, the amount of spam calls we get.
Well, you have to verify the business on Google.
Yeah, so to verify the business on Google, which I every time they call it, I ask them, can you please just Google us? We'll come up.
Yeah.
It's although depending on where you're at, if you Google straight shot training and you're in Virginia because of locations, a firearms training facility is going to come up.
What?
But because we've been doing so well, we've been crushing on Google because you all have been leaving us great reviews. The problem is now we're starting to show up higher than them, even in their own city. So,
oh my goodness.
So the amount of calls that I get for people who want firearms training.
Well, I've trained a couple of competitive pistol shooters before. You guys can work out too.
It's, yeah, definitely. Just I mean,
better
well,
grip,
not with,
better grip
not
is
with
better
the guns.
Oh well, no, not with the guns. Not in the facility.
No, please, no. We'll hand them water pistols when they get in. That's funny. All right, yeah, so there's no more questions. We'll go ahead and pack it up here before we get too unhinged. But one more reminder here. Again, the book link is in the comments. If you're listening to this on the podcast, there's going to be a link in the show notes if you're on our website. And you're going to be able to click that link right there in the show notes and find the book. It's all going to lead you to the same place. If you're confused at all about how to do it or anything and you just want me to email it to you, just send me an email. I'm going to put my email in here right now for you all listening. It's going to be johnny@straightshottraining.com. Just shoot me an email and I will send you the book if it's easier for you to get as an attachment. Gloria says wrong guns. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do guns.
We train a lot of guns.
We do train guns here. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, just
awesome.
A projectile.
All right, thank you so much for hanging out. Now I got to make the long trip around the table here. Oh, by the way, I would like to I'm not sure, I tried to position this so everybody could see it. This is our newest award here. This is for the best of the best. We're a finalist for Best Health and Fitness Club, so thank you all for voting
it's
for us.
Darn cool.
We now have a nice plaque in here and a poster that will be out in the gym and some window clings that you'll see. I'm going to put one of the window clings, we got two. I'm going to put one on the front door and I'm going to put one on my windshield. To remind myself every day how great you all are. Thank you all for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. As I mentioned before, you can download Train Away Your Pain via the link in the show notes over at straightshottraining.com/podcast. Please share this episode on social media if you have a second to. It's really helpful for us. And be sure to follow Straight Shot Training on Facebook and Instagram for more straightforward tips and advice without the clickbait, hyperbole, and nonsense you see right now all over the internet. So have a great next workout, and I'll catch you all next time.